Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in this season of Advent, when we prepare to celebrate the birth of your Son, we pray that you would give us a full measure of your Holy Spirit, that we might feel this joy in our hearts, the joy of knowing that our Savior has been born. We desire to learn more about that Savior, so we gather in confirmation class, and we pray that you would fill us with your wisdom and understanding. Strengthen our faith in Jesus as our Savior, and take us finally from this veil of tears to be with that Savior in heaven. To this end, bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me, page 84 is where we're at, the conclusion of the Ten Commandments. And let's hear what that says again. You can read or recite. What does God say about all these commandments? Emily. That's on page 83, if you want to see. You should have it memorized.
He said, I will divide my daughter's lives as soon as the iniquities of the fathers and the children to the third and fourth generations, to those who hate me, return mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments.
What does this mean, Drew?
God threatens to punish all who do not obey these commandments. Therefore, we should fear his anger and do not do anything against what he commands. God also promises grace and every blessing to those who obey these commandments. Therefore, we should love and trust him and willingly do what he commands.
Hey, I'm going to turn ahead to page 84, question 101. We talked about jealousy last time. Jealousy is God demanding what is his. You remember that? It's not a childish thing like, oh, I want that toy that he has, sort of jealousy. It's God saying, I deserve glory, praise, and honor, and therefore it should come to me. It's not, it's just right. God has to be right in all that he thinks. He can't allow anything that's wrong. So 101, what is the punishment for sin? 409, Aaron, will you start?
Romans 1:18. For the wrath which God revealed from the heavens against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness.
What is what's the punishment for sin then? According to that answer, the punishment for sin is
God's wrath
and anger. So that's all it is. God's just going to be angry with us, but after that, we're good to go. Kind of like you do something dumb at home when your mom or dad gets mad at you for a while, but they get over it. So God's mad at you for a while. Okay, there's more passages. That's not the end. That's part of it. The rest of it's coming up here. Cody, 4:10, 4:11.
Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Galatians 3, verse 10. Curses everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law due to them.
Okay, so you look at that first one. The wages of sin is death. Okay, so it's more than just the anger of God. The wages means what you receive for doing what you do. So if you go to a job and you work, your wages are what your employer pays you. Our wages with God are what we earn because of our sin, the things that we did. And what he pays us is death. Susanna, 4:12, 4:13.
Ezekiel 18, verse 4. The soul that sins shall die. Romans 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin.
B, then the punishment for sin is death. So, okay. Have you guys sinned?
Yes.
So the punishment is God's anger and death. Isn't that what we just read?
Yeah.
Oh, might as well go home. We're done for. No. You're saying no? Isn't that what it said?
Yeah.
Yeah, but no. Yes, but no. Okay, first answer the no. But yes.
Okay, what?
And then we'll see because Jesus took the punishment for us.
Very good. First we have to define death. You all think you know what it is.
Separation.
It's, we define it in terms of separation, right? What are the three kinds of death? You guys had this last year.
Spiritual, internal, and to bother one of them, that's called.
Physical?
Yeah, physical.
Hmm?
Physical.
Physical? Okay, temporal, physical. Not mental?
No,
not mental. Some of you may be suffering from that, though. Temporal, spiritual, eternal. What is temporal death? Drew, you remember? Separation. Use the word separation in your definition. Separation of what?
Separation of a soul and your body.
Good. So when you die, your body goes into the ground, your soul returns to God who gave it. Let's read, let's prove that. Andrew 4:14, 4:15.
Genesis 3:19. Till you return to the ground, for till you return to the ground, for out of you it was taken, for out of you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return.
For out of it you were taken.
Till you return to the ground, you no longer for it.
Until. It's in the middle of a sentence, a dot, dot, dot. So this will happen until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken.
Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7. When the dust will return to the earth, as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it.
Okay, so the Bible says exactly that. Your body turns to dust in the ground, your spirit goes back to God who gave it to you. Temple death. The next one is spiritual. True, will you read those? 4:16 to 18.
Ezekiel 18, verse 4. The soul who sins shall die. Isaiah 59, verse 2. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins.
So somebody define spiritual death for me. Separation of what from what?
From God.
Okay. And when does that happen?
If you sin.
Okay. So as soon as you sin, your soul is separated from God. Now what happens if your soul is separated from God and you die physical or temporal death?
You go through eternal death.
Good. Read those two, would you? 4:19 and 4:20.
Matthew 10, verse 28. And do not fear those who kill the body but do not kill the soul. But I fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Matthew 25, verses 41 and 46. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And this will go away into everlasting punishment.
You know, when you read a passage like that, what we do here, sometimes we joke around a little bit, but what we do becomes very serious when you think about eternity in hell. That's just not good, any way you think about it. Imagine that it just never gets better. Right now, no matter how bad things are, you always have some hope that things will get better. Okay, I'm not getting a good grade, but I can make it, I can bring it up, I can make it better. Okay, I'm not really liking 8th grade or 7th grade, but next year is 9th grade or 8th grade. Maybe I'll like that. For some of you, maybe it's the same grade over again. No. But in hell, there's just never a do-over. There's never a better. It's always just exactly as bad as you can imagine. So you die and don't have Christ. You're separated from him. So you have spiritual death. You die temporal death, then you have eternal death. How long does that last again, Eric? Yeah. That's a long time. That's why it becomes real serious. Folks that don't have this are in trouble. We need to help them. 103, why do we need to hear of God's threat to punish sinners? We start again, Aaron 4:21, 4:22. there. What's the carnal mind? Anybody know? What kind of mind?
The flesh.
Flesh, yeah, earthly. Okay, so as you are naturally, that kind of mind is?
Enmity. And then try against God, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God.
Yeah, enmity means an enemy of. Next one.
In Genesis 6:5, that ever intent of the thoughts of man's heart will only evil continually.
Okay. We need to hear God's threat to punish sinners because what do we still have in us?
So, old Adam.
Mm-hmm. Old man or old Adam. Remember that the new man in us, when brought to faith, there's a part of you that wants to do what God wants you to do. You also, though, have that old Adam. That's why when you get an idea about something that you want to do, what do you have to determine? Pardon?
If it's right or wrong.
Yeah, so...
It sounds like it's greater than it's so sin.
Yeah. What else? If it's from the... Or the... If it's...
Yeah, a, we'll know.
Okay, if it's product of the new man or old man, this idea that you have. So... Okay. I think I like the kitty on fire. New man or old man? I mean, it's not something God wants you to do. But you think, oh, it'd be kind of funny. It's kind of an arrogant cat. Just kind of soak his tail in something and light on fire and then watch him run around and try to get away from it. Easy there, big fella. Whoa. How about you're just walking in the store and you see something that you'd really like and you just kind of want to grab it and put it in your pocket because you'd really like it. Oh, it's just packed it down. No big deal. Yeah. Old Adam, right? Okay, now you did something wrong and you feel really bad about it and something inside you tells you that you need to do something to make this up to God. You need to give some money to church or go to church regularly for a while or say some extra prayers. New man or old man?
No.
Anybody else?
Old?
Yeah. Old man disguised as new man. Can you give something to God to pay for what you've done wrong?
No.
Nope, but it feels like you should sometimes. It feels like if you did something wrong, you got to make it up to God. That could be new man, but it's most likely old Adam. So it's not always clear. I know some of those, like, should I steal that or should I light the cat on fire? Clearly bad. But some of these things you gotta figure out. How about I have I met this girl and she's so wonderful. And she's everything I dreamed about. And we just absolutely fell in love right away, and it feels so wonderful, and we're so happy together. But she's married. But she said she's going to get a divorce. Old man, new man.
Old.
Old man.
But it's not going to feel like that. So what you got to do with every idea or every emotion that you have is you need to identify, is this what God wants me to do or isn't it? Because there's a lot of things in me that tell me to do things that are bad, that feel right, that feel good. If somebody makes you mad at school and you just had enough of it, and you want to haul off and pop him on or push him over, it's clearly not new man. What effect, that's by the way, we're answering 103, why do we need to hear God's threat? That old Adam in us needs to hear that threat from God. You don't want to make God angry. 104, what effect should this threat have on us? According to the new man, Andrew, according to the new man, what effect should the threat have on us? Maybe stay around. New man, We have that threat from God. The soul that sins it shall die. What effect should that have on the new man? You're right. Nothing. Doesn't affect.
I didn't get the question though.
Because you guys aren't focusing. Okay, the question is, what effect does God's threat have on, remember there's two parts in us, what effect does God's threat in this conclusion of commandments have on the new man? And the answer is nothing. It doesn't have any effect on it, because it doesn't affect the new man. The new man wants to do what God wants to do. It's like your dad tells you to go downstairs and clean your room. And there's, say there's three of you boys, three brothers or three sisters. So you're down there, and you're cleaning the room, and you're doing what he's supposed to do because he told you to and you want to do it. And then somebody's messing around. So from upstairs you hear, whoever isn't cleaning this room, I'm going to come down there and tan your bridges. Or whatever stupid thing parents say, time like that. Should you be afraid of that? No, because you're doing the right thing. But the one who's not doing the right thing should be afraid of it. You get it? So according to that new man in us, these threats from the law don't have any effect on us because we want to do. But the old man, that's the effect that we're talking about. So, Cody, read Deuteronomy 6, number 423.
Deuteronomy 6, verse 13-15. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord your God be roused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth.
Read the next one too.
Psalm 119, verse 120. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments.
Okay. Again, that's that sinful side in us that needs to hear those threats. The other side wants to do what God wants, doesn't need to be threatened into it. 105, what does God promise to those who love and obey Him? Let's see, Susanna, just all three of those there, 425, 6, and 7.
Luke 1, verse 50. His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation.
Okay, before you go on, what is mercy? You see it there?
To have pity, feel sorry for.
And what's fear?
Standing off
him is a good definition. We're not talking about being afraid. So it's not that he's going to have pity on or have mercy on those who are afraid of him. Fear is, again, part of that old Adam thing. But we stand in awe of him as a definition of fear there. When you say fear God, it's not to be afraid of him unless you're an unbeliever. Keep going there, Shazam.
Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. Therefore know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for a thousand generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments. Psalm 103, verse 11. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him.
So we talked about the effect the threat should have on us. The old man should be afraid of it. Top the next page, what effect should God's promise have on us? Emily, read those two, please.
Psalm 112, verse 1. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in His commandments. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you, but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways and to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes which I command you today for your good.
What, however, do we have to say about ourselves in view of these threats and promises of God? So when you look at all the commandments, all the things that God told us to do and told us not to do. Do you like what you see there? No. We haven't done what we're supposed to. We've done what we haven't supposed, what we weren't supposed to do. We haven't kept the commandments. Andrew, 431, 2 and 3.
Isaiah 64, verse 6. But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness is our like filthy rags. Romans 3, verse 23. while I'll show the glory of God. Romans 2, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin.
Okay, before we go on, look at that last one there. By the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. What does that mean in regular English?
If we looked at what
we've done, it wouldn't justify us. Good. He wouldn't, and what's justify mean?
Get us into heaven.
Okay, so he wouldn't declare us not guilty, which means we wouldn't get to heaven according to what we've done. So if God's going to judge you according to your actions, where are you going?
Hell.
Hell. You're going to hell if God judges you by your actions. And all of this is leading up to, and some of this is a little dry here in the conclusions, but it's all leading up to this next question, 108. Why is the gospel so important to us?
Because without it.
Go ahead.
Because without it, we wouldn't have any knowledge and we wouldn't go to
hell. Yeah. If you didn't have a rescuer, which is what the gospel tells you about, somebody that's going to rescue you from this predicament, if you didn't have that, you're talking an eternity in hell. Not good. Drew, 4:34-35.
John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Luke 2, verses 10 and 11. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. That for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord.
And Alex, 4:36.
Romans 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God of salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek.
So you get that stark contrast there that they're trying to draw. First of all, with the law, it just threatens us. It says, if you break my commandments, you're going to die. And dying without a Savior, you're damned to hell forever. But then comes the gospel, and what a difference in that John 3:16 passage. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever keeps the law perfectly shall not perish.
Just believes.
Believes. Isn't that neat? So believing that Jesus kept the law perfectly for us, God says, that's enough, you're going to heaven. Because my Son paid for your sins. And everything good that he did is yours because you believe it. And we think about that for a while and we think, come on, really? Believing? That's it? It doesn't work that way in life, does it? With regular things. If you believe you own a Lamborghini, do you have one?
No.
Oh. Just believing something. If you believe you're really smart and you're really stupid, are you really smart?
No, you're probably dumber. Because I am so dumb, I don't even know it.
You get the point? The gospel's different. The gospel is unique. Here on earth, you work, you earn, you get what you earn. Not spiritually. Spiritually, you believe in Christ, you get what he earned for you. Which brings us to the Apostles' Creed. And here you should, in your memory work now, be up to this point. Cody, you came late to the party, so... just try to get caught up with memorizing the commandments and then up to this article. And then keep going beyond that. First article, Aaron, read, recite it. We only have one, Aaron.
Oh, I believe in God, the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
What does this mean? You.
I believe that God has created me and all creatures. He has given me my body and life, eyes, ears, and all my bodily members, my mind, and all my senses, and I still keep them for me.
Cody?
God also preserves me by richly and daily providing clothing and shoes, but in drink, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land, animals, and all my property, and all I need to support this body and life. He protects me from all danger. He guards and defends me from every evil.
Susanna?
Have to resolve this confusion with my good and gracious Father in heaven, not because of anything I have done to earn or deserve. For this it is my duty to thank, praise, serve, and obey him. This is most certainly true.
Okay. Now what we're going to find with three petitions, there are three articles. The first has to do with God, God the Father who created us, made us perfectly, we're going to find out, and then we sin. The second is the Son, God's solution for our sin problem. The third, the Holy Spirit, who is the one who brings us to faith in the Son. Without the Holy Spirit, we couldn't believe in Jesus. So what's the subtitle of the first article, Alejandro?
Alejandro.
So can I read it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. About creation.
About creation. Just kind of looking forward, you remember the subtitle of the second article? About, starts with an R.
Redemption.
About redemption. The third one, about, starts with an S.
Salvation.
Close. Past tense of sync.
Sanctification.
So, creation, redemption, sanctification. What is a creed? Anybody know?
A statement of what you believe?
Yeah. How many do you know of that we have? How many Christian creeds do we have?
A lot. Is it just two?
What
is your letter total?
Five.
Let's look at them. The first, the one that this is based on which one?
Apostles.
Apostles' Creed, right. It wasn't written by the apostles that we know of, but it's a brief statement of what they believed and taught. You see that third paragraph there? There are many other written creeds, statements, which we use. So, yeah, we do have many of them, but there are only three that are real popular. Two of them are, two of the other ones are found in the Lutheran Hymn of the Nicene, page 22. When do we do that? Which services? The communion services and then Athanasian. You remember when we do that one for 1,000 points? Which Sunday?
Can I guess?
I could guess Trinity Sunday.
You got 1,000 points.
Probably if it's Thanksgiving anyway, so.
You would have been minus any 1,000 points.
Good thing I didn't say anything. I'm still above 50,000 points.
Mm-hmm. And you can trade them in for fabulous prizes, remember. God the Father, bottom of the page, page 110. Who's this God mentioned in the creed? What are some of his other names? Allah,
Jesus,
Buddha, Grand Buddha.
Father,
that works.
Holy Spirit.
Pardon? Holy Spirit. We're talking about the person, so he's one of the persons of the Trinity.
Lord. Jesus.
Savior.
You're in the same. You guys are in the same camp as that. You're talking about the second person there.
Sorry. Holy Ghost.
Sorry.
You said Holy Spirit.
And it was wrong. What makes you think Holy Ghost is going to be right? Now who had his head sat on by a horse? You get in the picture. Not Buddha, right? Not Allah?
Zeus.
Right? Because different gods. So when people say, oh, we all believe in the same God.
Christ. No, I didn't. I said Jesus and the Holy Ghost.
We're talking about names just for God, like Jehovah, Lord, you guys got those right, but not persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Creator.
But they apply to God, but we're not talking about persons of the Godhead right now. So we're talking, the point we're trying to make is it's like Lord and Jehovah, God, not Allah, Buddha, things like that. Next page. So it is okay in the creed where it says, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. So sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. So God is has hands.
No, we don't know. Well, maybe we don't know, but just a reference.
He's what? Spirit. Yeah, we kind of skipped that passage. 4:37. God is spirit. John 4:24. So how can we say, or why does the Bible describe it as like sitting at the right hand of God?
So that's like really close to him and like right up with him.
Okay, so it's describing a position of power, authority, not God. So God doesn't have spirit, or doesn't have, he is a spirit, so he doesn't have arms and legs and a body? No, we don't know, but a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones. So God is spirit, and if you try to picture him any way other than something that you can't picture, you're wrong. In other words, God isn't, sometimes you'll see these images of God as all white and this long beard, or with lightning bolts coming out, and artists try to capture God. Can you do that? No, that's why God said, don't make any graven images of me. Don't try, because you can't. I don't have an image. You can't draw me, because I don't have one. Yes, sir.
What about the guy that wrestled God, though?
What did he wrestle with? We don't even know if it was God. It says angel. Or a man of God, or something like that, and we're not sure what that was. Most people believe it was either the pre-incarnate Christ, meaning Christ assuming a bodily form before he was born, or an angel, or something like that. But not. And by the way, when the Bible talks about, like, Moses went up on Mount Sinai and spoke with God, always there was some filter there. But by filter, I mean something to prevent man from being close to God's glory without anything to soften that blow. Because man can't survive in his sinful mortal state. He can't survive seeing God in his glory and live. So what did God do for Moses so that he could? Moses said, I want to see your glory. Remember? So he put him in a cleft of a rock, or in a crack between. There must have been boulders and a crack there. And he couldn't see right away, but it describes the glory as having passed by, and then Moses could see the glory after it passed by, and it still made his face shine. Now, we don't know what that's all about. We don't know what that would be like, because it's kind of hard to imagine. But no one has ever seen God in his unveiled glory and lived. In heaven, we'll get to do that.
But you die?
You die.
Is it you?
Yes.
Then why would you die if you see the devil? Because he's made up of sin.
Totally different material. The devil loves sinful. So we're sinful. We can see the devil and live.
Really?
Yeah, you haven't, have you?
No.
Okay, good. Let me know.
Has anybody, like, seen God and then died? Like you said?
Good question. I'm not sure. Well, the Bible says no man... look at 4:38, John 1:18. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So the Son tells us about God the Father, God in his glory, but we haven't seen him, and we can't. Give me some of the attributes of God. Let's go through that list there, 1:11. Just kind of follow along. We're not going to read every passage, but I'm going to read most of them. 4:40, Psalm 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So he's eternal. When you talk about evolution, for example, with somebody who believes in that, ask them where the earth came from. And then when they tell you the Big Bang or whatever, ask them where that came from. And always keep going back to the original, the start, because they don't have one. They never have a start. They have faith in their system, but it's faith in a wish or a fantasy. So they're perfectly content with saying, well, this star blew up. and chunks flew off of it. I mean, it was huge beyond comprehension. And that's what we have, all these stars are chunks and stuff that flew off of this thing that blew up. Now, there are different theories, but Earth is one of those chunks that stopped this certain distance from the sun so that we could have warmth, and then life formed on there. Well, it's silly. The point is, we can go back to God. In the beginning, God created. So there's nothing before, but at some point he said, let there be, and by the power of the word there was. That's a powerful being. It's hard to even imagine power like that. Could you imagine making something out of nothing? You can't. But think about it for just a second. You have to make a car. How are you going to do it?
Metal.
Where are you going to get that?
You're going to mine it.
Sorry, you got no dirt, no mine, no earth, nothing. But that's a good way. That's a good train of thought. I mean, you got to get back to some. Well, you got to mine. You got to find ore. You got to make iron out of the ore, and then make it into steel. And no, wait, no, we don't have anything like that.
You got to go back in that train to see what you got to make or create in order to make.
Yep. And can you do that out of nothing?
We can.
Right. Only God can do that. That's why he's God. So, eternal is the first characteristic. Look at 442. I am the Lord, I do not change. You folks change. Everybody changes. You get older, different things start happening to your body, your hair starts falling out, you grow taller and taller and taller, then you kind of level off, and then when you get older, you start shrinking a little bit. You change, but God never does. Which is a comfort, because we like him the way he is. 443, Genesis 17:1, I am Almighty God. He's omnipotent, which means all-powerful. Those are, by the way, Latin words. Omni, all, potent, power. And we use the omnis here coming up. 445, Lord, you know all things. Omniscient, omniscient, means all science or all knowledge. Let's see, 446. Who read last? Did you? I think you did. Aaron, 446.
Psalms 139:1-4. O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are
acquainted
with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether.
So again, he's omniscient, which is, if you follow along the things that you read there, he knows where we are. He knows what we do, he knows what we say, he knows what we think. 447, Cody.
Jeremiah 23, verse 24. Can anyone hide himself in certain places, so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord?
So he's omnipresent, present everywhere at once. Susanna.
Leviticus 19, verse 2. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy.
So he's sinless? What we're trying to do is get a picture of God. I suppose you know most of these, but Emily.
Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he.
Andrew?
2 Timothy 2, verse 13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself.
Group.
Psalm 145, verse 9. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works.
Yep, let's do those last two.
1 John 4, verse 8. God is love. Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin.
Okay. All these are characteristic or attributes about God, things that God is like. How do you know these things?
Just plain and simply he created it.
Pardon?
Jesus plain and simply created it.
He created what?
Life itself.
How do you know that?
The book in which he's supposed to explain it to us.
Will you stop talking in, like, John Kwan Kane and... How do you know that? There you go. Thank you for a straight answer. The Bible, exactly right. And that's the only way you know it. You can't figure out things by watching a sunset. Now, you can figure out a few things, like whoever made it must have been wise. Whoever started this must have been not only wise, but artistic. He gave us colors, made things beautiful here on earth. You know he must be eternal because stuff's really old, a lot older than any human being. But you can only know who did that and something specific about it from the Bible. Did you have your hand up?
Yeah, I just...
Okay. Top page 91, who's God the Father? Now we're specific to the Father, so don't say he's Jesus. Let me read for a little bit. 450, no, who's up? We went around. 454, 5, and 6. Matthew 28, 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Why is that? How is that going to answer the question, who is God the Father? How do we explain that? He is the what of the what? Anybody? He is the first
and the last.
True, but first person of the Trinity. That's how we describe God the Father. Look at the answer there at the bottom, just above 113. God the Father is one of the persons of God, together with God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Sometimes when the Bible speaks of God, it's referring to God the Father. That's why every once in a while when you guys will answer, you just say God. And I'll say more specific. Jesus, God the Father, and God the Son are all the same? Are they all God?
Yeah.
Altogether God?
Yeah.
Did God the Father die on the cross? No. That's how they're different. Does the Son bring us to faith? No, the Holy Spirit does that. So they have different job descriptions, but they are God. No, we're not going to understand the Trinity, but we try. Why is he called Father, by the way? When was he first called Father, do you know? When did we refer to God as Father?
When Jesus.
Yeah, in what? Yep, our Father who art in heaven. That was unique. There was some sort of a kind of a reference in the Old Testament with David, but they didn't think in terms of Father until Jesus gave us that Lord's Prayer and said, our Father who art in heaven. That was different. Let's see, 458, 459. 2 Corinthians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, so why is he called Father? Because the Bible does. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Matthew 11:27, all things have been delivered to me. Who's speaking here, do you think?
Jesus.
Yeah, by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and he to whom the Son wills to reveal him.
If there's only one God, what is the devil considered?
If there's only one God, what?
If there's only one God mm-hmm. in existence,
mm-hmm.
what is the devil considered?
What do you think?
I have no clue. That's what I'm asking.
What did you just call him?
The devil.
There you go. It just because somebody wants to be a false God doesn't mean he's God. He's a devil.
Yeah, but is he like a spirit or... an angel or...
Yeah, he was a created evil, an angel who was created perfectly but then fell. So he's now a devil, fallen angel. Let's see, 460, let's just read a couple more here, we're just about out of time. Galatians 3:26, for you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. When we're answering why he's Father, one of the reasons is he's a father of Jesus. Second reason is we're called his children. 1 Chronicles 29:10, David said, blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. That's that one reference in the Old Testament. But it isn't, he's referring to him as our Father, meaning the one who gave us life, but he doesn't address his prayers, our Father who art in heaven, or anything like that. And then Matthew 5:45, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. So God is the Father of all people, believers especially. That was a lot of material. You guys did good to hang in there.
Thanks.
You're welcome. We close with our prayer on page 13. Again, make sure you keep working on your memory work, workbooks, readings. What are you reading now?
Judges 10.
Okay. And your passage booklet. All those things keep on. Giving prayer.
Passage.
Let's pray. In the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me today. And I pray that you would forgive me all my sins, wherever I have done wrong, and graciously protect me tonight. Into your hand I entrust my body and soul and everything else. Let your holy angel be with me, that the devil may have no power over me.